I'd like to begin reading with verse 9 in chapter 4 and then go through chapter 5. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him and sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open the, to read the book, thither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and had made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And as I read this and contemplated on how and who wrote this, and of course we know and realize that it was John, one of the Christ's disciples, apostles, and it talks about him in the first chapter. It says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so we can read in the first few chapters of Revelation where he wrote to the seven churches. And in each case, he wrote to them, and it always mentions that he that overcometh, and he brings this attention to every one of the churches that he mentions in the first three chapters of Revelation. And so here in the fifth chapter begins where we talk about there are seven seals that were to be opened. And by the instruction of here, then the reading that we see, that it was a book that had to be read, or had to be read by, I believe, by the Almighty God. Because as it mentions here, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within on the backside and sealed with seven seals. And so we think of the one that's sitting on the throne, we think of God. And it says, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loosen the seals thereof? And when I read that, I thought of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the only one that was worthy to open this book. It says that John saw this, and when he saw this, it says he wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. So whatever this book was a very precious book written by God, and it was to reveal the things that are to come. And if we read in the other chapters, beginning with chapter 6, it talks about the opening of the six seals, and then the seventh chapter talks about opening the seventh seal. And all of these seals, all of these books were things that were going to happen upon the earth, things that were going to, that was to take place. And of course, to reveal this, God used his Son, Jesus Christ, only because he was the only one worthy. Now, it's not hard for us to understand why he was worthy, because those of us that are converted, we look at him as our Lord and our Savior, the one that saved us, the one that died for us and shed his precious blood. And there was no one else on this earth that could have done that to bring us in relation, a relation, and reconcile us with God, our Heavenly Father, but Jesus Christ. And so God set up the plan of salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he was born when he brought, we know how he was born as a babe, brought into this world in a very lowly way. He taught, and he was considered as a very humble man. He taught the people, he taught his disciples. He teaches and writes many things for us to learn and how to live our lives. And so, him being the one that came from God, and he mentions this several times, the Pharisees and them wouldn't accept him because he said he made himself as the Son of God, and they accused him of blasphemy. They wanted to stone him for it. And yet, he still never backed down. He never gave up on them, but he always made it plain and clear who he was and why he was here. And he says in the Word that he didn't come to condemn us, but he came to save us. And so him being the Lord and Savior of our soul salvation, is the only one that was found worthy to open this book. And so as we read here, as he says, with who is worthy to open the book and loosen the seals thereof, and no man in heaven or in earth or under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. So that's what gives us a picture that this was a very serious book, whatever it was, that it meant a lot, and it was written by God, and there was no man, any place on this earth, under the earth, it says, any place that was worthy to open it and to read it thereof. So whatever it was very serious, it was very meaningful, and it was written by our God. And so then John says, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book therein and read it. And then it says, one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lamb of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. So again, we realize and understand the identity that he had. It is this One of the elders said, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we know and realize that that was written about him in the Psalms. It was written about him, and we, if we read in the scriptures, it claims that everywhere in the Old Testament, it points to Christ. No matter what it is, whatever took place, it always pointed to Christ. And again, pointing to the only one that was worthy to open this book. And it says he's the root of David and hath prevailed to open the book. And then he said, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and in the four beasts and the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes and seven spirits of God sent forth unto the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, giving us a picture that this book that God had written, only one that he could give it to, was worthy to open it, was his son, Jesus Christ. And then it gives us a picture how he came, took it out of his right hand, and it goes on to say then, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them lamps or harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So these elders that was gathered around, and if you read in the scriptures, there were 24 elders that were sitting around this throne, the throne of God, and Christ being in the midst of them. Again, the seven elders representing the tribes, or the 24 elders of the tribes. And he was. They were all men of renown. They were good men. They were God-fearing men. They had a position in heaven, but none of them was worthy except the Lamb, which was slain, as it says here, the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he was the only one that was worthy. And so it says they fell down and worshiped him, which is, again, representative of us, how we ought to recognize, how we ought to realize who he is, what he's done for us, and that we owe him all our being, all of our attention, all of our heart, mind, and soul. And that's why we read in the Word that he wants us to give everything that we have to him. And so, because he is the Lamb of God, he is the only one that is worthy for us to give, we should fall down before him as the Lamb that was slain. And they said, they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy, take the book, and to open it seals thereof. For thou hast was slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. And when you think about all those people, we read in Revelations, the latter part of the chapter, talks about all that were saints that were gathered with Christ. And when he came down, he was riding on a white horse, and it says all the saints that were with him. And it talks about him, as it says here, there were thousands, 10,000s, times 10,000s, and thousands of thousands. We can't imagine how many people. And if you think about that, and we think about the relationship that there is with believers and children of God, from way back when Christ was first born until now, how many people were turned to Christ? How many people lived and died for Christ? How many was his followers until this very day that we face today? And how many more days might come? We have no idea how many more. And it seems that the gospel message is going out far and wide. I believe that it's every part of the world. It's all over. There are people being converted in every kind of nation, every tongue, every kindred. There are being people converted, which tells me that we are closer to the end than we ever been before. And that is a hope and a promise that we read out of his word, that is coming, that is going to happen. And we need to believe and trust that it's near now than ever before. Simply because of the conditions and the situation that the world is in and the sin that is so rampant. How long will God put up with this? And yet, we don't know. No one knows. Even the Lamb here, the only one worthy, did not know when day that will be, when he will come again and take up his own. Only God has reserved that for himself. And so, there might be 1,000 more years. There might be couple thousand years, we don't know. And we don't know how many thousands and ten thousands and thousands of thousands there are, will be when this time comes, when all the saints are gathered around, and then we know that the war is going to take place where Christ is going to come and defeat Satan in all his realm and all his angels. And he too has a host of angels, a host of people that have followed him, just worshiped him, was in his way. And there's going to be that great battle, and we can read the very end of that battle is going to be the only one that's victor, and that's Jesus Christ and all of his saints. And so that gives us the hope and the promise that we too can be a part of this victory. Even when we become converted and we have given our life to the Lord, we've accepted his plan of salvation, become baptized in the likeness of his death. We are victors over sin. We are victors over Satan. And we have these promises that he gives us in his word that we can live forever and be with him forever, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The only one, the only individual that ever even walked this earth that was worthy to have this title, to have this name. You know, we think of people, I can think back on men that I knew that were good, honest men, ministers, elders, whatever they might have been, seemed very upstanding and very worthy to be called an elder because of the way they lived their lives, devoted to the Lord. And sometimes we think that could be even worthy to enter in, and yet they will never be nothing like what Christ was. We know that every man has his faults, every man has his drawbacks, sin some way or another. Each and every one of us have that, and don't even sometimes feel worthy to be called his children. I know of times when I felt that way, just not even felt worthy to be called his children. And yet, this is Satan's doings. He tries to convince us that we're not worthy, that we don't have but we can't let that tear us down. We can't let that bother us. But we just realize that we are the one of these thousands and of ten thousands. We are his children. You can read in Romans 8th chapter, it identifies as heirs and co-heirs. And we need to read that and remind ourselves that we are. We are his children. We might have our shortcomings, but we still, that by the grace of God, we have been saved. We're not going to be saved by our works, it's by the grace of God. And that we are still, because we believed and trusted in the worthy name of Jesus Christ, makes us reconciled with God, makes us worthy to be called his children. Sometimes we don't feel that way. And oftentimes we hear where we pray, we're not worthy, and I can understand that, we aren't. But nevertheless, the scriptures teach us that we are his children, and we do have the right to inherit the kingdom of God. And to be with this Lamb that is worthy, that has been slain, because we believed in him, we trusted in him, and we live our lives accordingly. And so this is what inspires me here when I see this, as he talks about that he was saying, as he says there, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings." And all these things he had. He exercised how many times he exercised his power over Satan when he healed some of those who had cast out demons and when he was on this earth. And even today, in this day and age, if we commit our lives to him, all the cares and concerns that we have, we place them on him, we give it to him to care for us, he does. And he'll give us that peace and that contentment, that satisfaction, that if we will trust him and put our cares and our concerns about him, he will care for us. He says, my burden is heavy, and you know what I'm referring to, what he says, that my burden is light, that that means he will care for us, he will take care of us. We don't need to worry. But sometimes, so easy, we get concerns, we get worried about things in our lives, things take place, and human element takes over, and we begin to fret and wonder what's going to happen. Needlessly, yes, very needlessly sometimes. But nevertheless, when we come to realize, I don't need to fear nothing. All I need to do is give it to the hands of the Lord. And for the unconverted that are here, you need to realize that and understand that when you want to become one of his children. Surrender your life. All the sins and all the cares that happen in your life, he forgives us for all that. We need to understand that. And so when we surrender our lives to him and walk in his ways, we get that feeling of satisfaction, and we confess our faults, we find that we have a feeling of peace and contentment that only Christ can give us. And that's all because we have put our trust and our cares upon the one that is worthy, as he says here, with all riches, wisdom, strength, honor, and glory, and blessings. And it says, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and forever. And when we think of that, considering our soul's salvation, where will we spend eternity? And when it says forever and forever, you can say that forever and forever and forever, as long as you can say it, would not give you any inkling as to how long that is. Forever and ever is a long time. The choice that you and I make, we're going to live by them. The choice that we make and live by. And if we want to live with the one that is worthy to open these seals, we must surrender our lives to him and to him only. He's the only one. That's why the Bible teaches us there is no other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved. And that's the name Jesus Christ. No other name. Thanks be to God. He has made a provision for us that we don't need to fear condemnation. We don't need to fear death. We don't need to fear eternity, where we're going to spend it. The thing that we need to be concerned about, are we living? Are we living our lives pleasing in his sight? Do we love him enough to serve him? Do we love him enough to want to be with him forever and ever and ever? These are the decisions that you and I need to make while we're on this earth. Once we're gone, it's over. No more chance. That's it. And thanks be to God, he gives us the opportunity. He gives us, and that's why the scripture says, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you give your life to him. And we do that every day of our lives. We give our lives to him. And come what may, we might put our trust and our cares upon the very one that is worthy. And as it says here, and the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. So you see, those elders that were there agreed with, and that's what it means when it says Amen. That doesn't necessarily mean it's the end. That means that so be it. That's the way it is. He's the only one. He is our Lord and Savior. He's the Lamb of God that give his life for us. That's it. And there's no other way. There's no other exception. And so we're thankful that the words teach us that we can live forever and ever if we, again, put our trust, our cares upon him and allow him to lead our lives. May God bless these few words. May all honor and glory and praise be unto him. Amen.